So every year that our children were in public school, we found this time of year particularly difficult. And I don't know if there were any years that where we felt at ease sending them off to the great unknown of the world of school. We felt very much like Winnie the Pooh and his friends the day that Christopher Robin didn't come out to play. Do you remember that? We felt like we were sending them off to the Skull Cave and that they would be facing the wrath of the Skullosaurus. And when the school bell rang and I pried the last child off my leg and sent her through the closed door, my heart sank for a moment every single time, every single year. As parents, we debated the merits of public school, Catholic school, private Christian school, homeschool, unschool, you name it, we thought about it. And while it was difficult for us, we also know they experienced more difficulty even through along the way. However, we also learned some important things about finding God at school. And a lot of what we learned was inspired from and deepened by our understanding of a group of young men who went off to high school. And this high school wasn't just a high school in a bad part of town. It was in the worst country in the world. It wasn't just in a corrupt school board, but they had corrupt teachers with some really intolerant principals and really mean bullies. I know, it sounds bad. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The principal, whose name you might recognize for more, Nebuchadnezzar. He made them even change their names, Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you know what? These four friends found God at school. And let me just say as a caveat, one of the things that, you know, over the last number of years is we have a lot of people talking about how they've taken God out of school. Don't say that to our kids. Don't do that. Because I want you to know that in the worst situation, in the worst high school with the worst teachers, four young men found that God was very much a part of their school experience. How did they do it? We're going to learn together about it in the Old Testament book of Daniel in chapter 1. I want you to notice first that they remembered that God was in control. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim into Judah into his hand, along with some of the other articles of the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasures of the house his God. This is how it's described. But notice that it says that the Lord delivered them there. It wasn't a mistake. It didn't happen without God's knowledge. God wasn't lacking control. It wasn't the high school of his choosing, but it was chosen for him. It wasn't the choice between one side of town or the other. It was being uprooted from his home, from his family, from the comfortable surroundings of his faith family, and taken to a completely different place. And up to this point in time, Daniel probably had heard about how terrible the Babylonians were. And now he and his friends were part of it. Their lives were spared, while the lives of others, maybe even some of their friends and family, were destroyed at the hands of the very ones, at the hands of this terrifying and tyrannical empire that the world has ever known. And they were in a difficult circumstance. However, the reminder in these two verses is that despite the difficulty, despite the oppression by the Babylonians, that God was in control. God had permitted it to happen. It wasn't his first choice, but this is what we call sovereignty. The knowledge of that reminder is what Daniel would come back to over and over and over again, despite the emotions that he must have been feeling and despite any difficulty that he would face. God is in control. He is with you. Even as you start to go back to school, you begin to find God at school when you remember that he is with you. A second way to find God at school is to do your best. I know, there's lots of time, discussion, money, anxiety, and spent on getting the right backpack, the right clothes, the right binders, the right social media profiles, and on it goes. However, sometimes we let those things take our minds off the things that God cares about most. He cares about who we are, our character. That's what set Daniel and his friends apart. Their desire, their capacity, their effort, that's what got noticed. See what it says here starting in verse 3? Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, king, chief of the court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. Focusing on your inward character, is that what we emphasize towards our with our kids? Focusing on your inward character more than our outward appearance allows the Spirit of God to strengthen us and to allow Him to work in our lives, bringing our best effort, whether the teacher is in the room or not, whether your parents are checking on your homework or not. Daniel and his friends, even though they were taken away to learn in an incredibly difficult environment, and they had to learn incredibly contrary curriculum, they still gave it their best. And when you make your best effort because you know that God is with you, then your character will begin to reflect that of Jesus, demonstrating things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The evidence of the life of Jesus will shine through your life. Third, to find God at school, remember that God is your helper, especially when you face tests. Nobody likes tests. When Christopher Robin left that day to go to school, he left a note for his friends. In the note, it said, "You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and you're smarter than you think." Those words helped Pooh and his friends learn to face difficult days and circumstances, and they learned a lot more about themselves. And what's school without a test, right? The greatest test will be whether you will hold to the truths of God's word, even if your parents aren't there and others might be giving in around you and doing things that you know aren't right. But God gives you something special, and it's called resolve. And Daniel and his friends had a lot of it. So let's continue reading, starting in verse 5. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some of from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Resolve. Show resolve. Stay true to God's desire for your life. Don't give that up, no matter what. Even if nobody else seems to be honoring God, your resolve will not only help you, no, it will help you to grow in stronger in Christ, but it will also encourage others to do the same. And you might not even know it at the time. There may be some who will be waiting and wondering if anyone will say something. They're waiting maybe for you. Show resolve. Resolve is your ability to act honorably and gracefully according to your belief in God. And the best way to stay sharp for those tests is to be in God's word. Read it daily. Whether it's a passage in the Bible or a devotional book, start your day with a two-way conversation with God, listening to His word and talking to Him about how you were feeling going into that day, and then waiting for Him to give you assurance. It is there that resolve is shaped, formed, and strengthened for us so that you're ready for when the test comes. Because if you're always prepared, you never have to get ready. We learn later in the book of Daniel that he set aside 3 times a day on a regular basis to talk with God. And he faced some pretty big surprise tests in his life, including getting thrown into a pit with a bunch of hungry lions. Remember that? Daniel was prepared for the test, and he was confident because he knew God was with him even during the test. So far we've talked about remembering that God is control, about doing our best, and that God is our helper. And fourthly, I want to remind you that you find God at school by honoring those in authority. I know it seems crazy, and it's a really simple way, though, to make a profound difference. Show respect for your teachers. They were put there by God for your benefit, again, whether you can see it right now or not. Honor them as people. Honor the rules they set. Pray for them. Thank them. In points of disagreement, address them respectfully. Ask permission. Ask clarifying questions. This aspect likely has greater application than just our kids in school these days. I think a lot of people need this reminder. Submission and honor of those in authority is to be a hallmark or chief characteristic of those who claim faith in Christ. And two things are important to underscore here. Submission is demonstrated in times of disagreement. And secondly, honor doesn't necessarily mean obedience. Watch how Daniel does it, starting in verse 8. It says, he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. But the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over him, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." And so he agreed to do this and tested them for 10 days. Respect, asking clarifying questions, submission to the contrary opinion, honor. Our teachers, principals, coaches, parents are not the enemy. We can submit to them and honor them, knowing that God is in control. Showing honor is actually a pathway to further blessing from God. Honor doesn't mean that you'll always need to obey, but it does mean that in points of disagreement, your approach will be to respect their positional authority over you. And let me also say that when you, as a parent, honor teachers and principals, it changes the way that they feel about themselves as they teach your student and how they also deal with your student. Our kids often deal with a lot of secondary trauma because of the way that we complain about teachers and principals. Conversely, complaining and blaming someone in authority is a way to have a difficult time in school. If it's always somebody else's fault, you're never really going to be happy. Daniel did all that all the way through his school career and into his working life. He honored those in authority, and God honored Daniel. You want to find God at school? Then honor those in authority over you. The fifth way to find God at school is to persevere. How many know that school isn't easy? How many know that life is hard? Here's some words that help us understand perseverance. I'll take silence as an affirmation. Discipline, sacrifice, commitment, accountability, consistency. I know that those don't sound like fun words at all. But I'm not talking just about homework. I'm talking about just developing those things in our lives. The choices that Daniel made likely brought questions from some of the other prisoners. Maybe he even got picked on for it. Undoubtedly, some of what was being offered to the other prisoners looked appealing and maybe even seemed harmless. What's the point? What's the problem with just a little? Just a small bite, maybe of just one meal, because some of these other guys would probably be his friends, kind of, right? But losing your integrity, losing your credibility, your trustworthiness doesn't happen in big splashy events. It actually starts with small, simple choices that tell you the hard work of faithfulness doesn't really matter. Daniel would say it does matter. He would say, stay focused, learn to make small, faithful choices, and then the big ones will often take care of themselves. And so things like discipline, sacrifice, commitment, accountability, and consistency, well, none of those really matter unless we have a deep-rooted desire to honor God first. And that was their motivation. They didn't want to dishonor the Lord above all else. These guys applied themselves to learning a curriculum that went against their own worldview. And they excelled at it. They mastered the material, but they didn't let the material master them. When you persevere, particularly when things get hard, and you have a desire to honor God, then you reflect the example of Jesus Christ, and you avail yourself of the incredible power of God, the sufficiency of His grace, and the ministry of His Spirit and of His angels in your life. Finding God at school requires perseverance. Another way to find God at school is to find faith-filled friends. Listen to what I'm not saying. I'm not saying find someone who is nice or someone who attends church. I'm talking about finding people who demonstrate a desire to know and grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to how this foursome is described in verse 17. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Did you catch that? The mention, the number of times they and them and their collective identity are brought together. The support and encouragement and prayer, the I got your back of like-minded, God-honoring friends is another way in which we bring the presence of God into our daily school experience. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. There I am with them. So part of developing those Christ-centered friendships is learning that together, as part of a church family, wherever we allow ourselves to be known, God is with us. And here, when we get to gather here as an intergenerational community, then we get to help and spur on those growing in their faith in Jesus, of which we all are. Over and over throughout Scripture, the Bible warns us about the company that we keep influences our thoughts and our actions. Don't underestimate that. The seventh and last way to find God at school, it's not mentioned last because it's least important. Actually, it's important right from the start because it's implied all the way through. Daniel and his friends would have understood this. If you want to find God at school, learn to rest and have fun along the way. I think it's something that many people get mixed up, twisted, flipped upside down. The rest and recreation of energy is important. It's essential. It's integral. The problem is that we've replaced rest with entertainment and downplayed hard work for pleasure. As students, your job is to first apply yourselves to giving your best effort during school. Get your homework done early. Get it done on time. But then learn to properly rest in good rhythm, because in learning to take breaks, whether on a daily or weekly basis, your work will be blessed by God. Listen to God's promise from the book of Exodus. He says, for in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The example that God gives to us is a rhythm of work and rest on a daily basis, within a regular interval of rest on a weekly basis. And notice where the blessing of God appears. It comes in the rest, a rest that allows us to replenish our energy. For some, that's being more active. For others, it's being more quiet to refocus on a relationship with God and reconnect with others seeking to do the same. The rest is blessed, and through true rest, we are renewed in our heart, in our capacity to work hard in honor of God. The truth is that through rest, we are found by God, blessed by Him, and strengthened by Him, and then the rest of our lives are blessed through the rest. Got that? So what do we do? How do we move forward with this as we go into a school year? And this school year perhaps is daunting for some more than others. Perhaps we are really hoping for our sake of our kids that they get the social connections that they have so dearly missed, and that this lasts much longer than it has over the course of this last year and a half. That's not a small thing to keep in mind. And that's what one of the values that we bring as a church community when our kids come together is to reignite what's lacking. And actually, it's lacking in many adults as well, the capacity to function together socially, together as a community. So let me ask you this. As parents, are you willing, are you preparing your children to engage and not shrink back from a world that will challenge their foundational beliefs? Don't be afraid of it. Engage it. There might be some consequences to face for it, but that's okay. Don't shrink back from it. As students, are you preparing yourselves to honor God in the Babylon-like culture that we might often find in school these days? It's okay to go, but know that as you go, God is with you. And as students, are you going to support each other and help each other to greater degrees of faithfulness to God? As you honor the Lord first, He will give you insight, strength, and endurance that comes only from Him. And so as we close the service today, I want to do a couple of different things. One, if you're a student here today, I would love for you to allow us to pray for you. And if you are a teacher or you're a staff here today, then I would love for us to be able to pray for you. If you are a parent of kids who are going back to school, then we would love to be able to pray for you. Some of you may have noticed that in our e-bulletin, I want to thank all 12 of you that read that. Some of you may have noticed that in our e-bulletin that there is a memorial tribute to Kingsley Archer. He was a school teacher for many years just down the road here at Skits High School, and he passed away just a few years ago. And part of these memorial tributes is that we remember the stories of those who have come before us. And one of his most enduring legacies is his teaching career and the influence that he had not only on students, but also on his peers, his fellow teachers and administrators, because he honored God with his life. And so I want to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite Tim Allen to come. And Tim has been where is he? Over there. His family's there. He's over there. So Tim has actually just retired from teaching for just over 30 years, right? 31 years, most of them at Alexander McKenzie School here in town. And so this is the first September. He's not going back to school. But he's also Kingsley's son-in-law, and so I'm going to ask you all to stand, and let's pray for one another. And if you're near a school-age kid, let's put our hands on them. And if you are near a family that has school-age kids, would you just extend your hands towards them, and let's pray God's blessing on them, shall we?
Okay, I got a couple words to say first. For teachers and students, to be bold, I used to love it when students asked me for my opinion, because then when they asked me my opinion, I could bring God or Jesus into the equation. So teachers, be bold. Also, respect. Students, respect your teachers. Teachers, respect your students. I always told my students they didn't have to earn my respect. I would respect them regardless. We don't know what background they come from or what day they've had, so I'm going to respect them. Also, my goal in my classrooms was that the person or the student in my class would be a better person because they were in my class. It didn't depend on what they learned or whatever. I wanted to make them a better person. Teachers, remember, God has placed that student in your class for a reason. And students, be a better person because you are in that class. God has placed you in that class for a reason. And I always tell my kids, remember, teachers are people too. So when you're going to school, students, remember that teachers are people too. We have likes, dislikes, bad days, good days. So give teachers a break once in a while. Proverbs 4:20-27. And Dave's message today, I would think those four guys probably had this instruction. And it says, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are like life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Never say anything that isn't true. Have nothing to do with lies and misleading words. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And as Dave said, stay true. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for all your blessings. And I just ask that you would just be with teachers and staff as they instruct and as they guide students, that you would just give them wisdom and guidance. And Father, I just ask for all the students here, whether in elementary school, homeschool, secondary school, college, or university, that you would just help them to make God-honoring decisions, that they would just follow in your steps and in your paths, and that they would just be true to you. And we ask in your name, amen.